Minutes. One spot in 10 minutes here. Offensively with the 49ers, what can they do better from last year? Last year was a dream season, man. 29 points a game. Four guys over 1,000 scrimmage yards. Ayuk, second team All-Pro. Debo doing his thing. George Kittle over 1,000 yards. McCaffrey, DeCee, we talked about that. Purdy.
Purdy got everybody involved.
Everybody.
I mean, Purdy was, like, he was just, I don't know if you can, I mean, what was his quarterback rating? 110? Like, we've never seen anything like it. Like, outside of a couple games against Cincinnati or Cleveland, maybe Minnesota, where things didn't go great, Baltimore, a couple games, but for the most part, like, he lit everybody up. He got the ball. Everybody was happy. Everybody ate. I don't know what they could do better, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't know. Like, the running back can't play any better than what he played. You can't finish drives the way they finish drives any better. You're down 24-7 in the third quarter to Detroit, and you score in five straight drives. Like, when they had to, like, just turn it on, they had the ability just to turn it on.
Give me the scouting report on Brock Purdy, strengths and weaknesses.
Well, I mean, the guy sees the field as well as any quarterback in this league. And then his movement is elite. When he's under pressure, his ability to escape and to find the open receiver is as good as anybody. His ability to get out of a bad play, probably as good as anybody. When that does happen, his ability to freelance and just to get rid of the ball, to get to the next play. His understanding of the down-distance situation of the game is as good as anybody. And he plays with unbelievable poise. Like, there's nothing not to like. And I know the detractors are out there. Now he's just a part of the system. Like, what's the system? Right. Like, he's executing the system. Right. And the players love him. Like, you know, you've seen the soundbite where Nick goes up to him and he's like, how the hell are you so good? I was the second pick in the draft. Like, I wasn't that confident. Huh. Like, how are you that confident? Like, the players, you know, like, he fell out of the sky. He's Robert Redford in The Natural. He just fell right into their lap.
Well, what are the weaknesses that you see? I'm just trying to, from a defensive coordinator's standpoint, how you're going to try to slow a guy down.
Well, I mean, the offense, Kyle can do anything in it, the repertoire of offense that he has with him. So you say, okay, can he throw the deep ball better? Well, I mean, Kyle's got to call those plays too, you know? And so I don't know that there's a weakness right now. I mean, I don't see one. Like, if he was, would he be better if he was 6'5 and he had over the top release? Okay, well, all right, he's not Josh Allen, but like the guy, his movement is exactly, he'll stay there until he has to and take a hit, but he'll also move when it's the right time to move.
Who does he remind you of? Of players from yesterday. Really?
Yeah. Like that's he's
Montana.
Yeah. Joe.
I know you're not compared to
don't get me wrong.
We get it.
But he does remind me of that sort of you could go up, like the thing that's interesting to me about Brock is like he's out there warming up before game and he's going through his passing tree and he's getting the ball and you're talking to him while he's warming up. And like you could be talking about an ice cream shop in Ames, Iowa to him. When he's warming up and he's just as relaxed as you can be. Like, he's not this uptight guy. He's relaxed the way you got to be relaxed. Like, he doesn't feel pressure. Like, there's nothing. The players, like, they all know if they're open, they have a chance to get in the ball. Like, he sees everybody. So they're all getting fed right now.
Is that the best offense you've seen in 49er history? In your lifetime, Shasky?
I mean, in terms of weaponry across the board,
it's in terms of production.
Sure as hell felt like it.
Production, because they had some loaded teams. Some loaded offenses.
89 was an unbelievable season, but like,
you can't go to any 49er team ever and see a running back like McCaffrey.
Well, Roger Clay would be the closest in 89, player, yeah. And I'm taking McCaffrey. And it's not a slight on Roger Craig.
No.
I look at the 94 team that won it in January 95. Ricky Waters was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yep.
And very dual-thready. Mm-hmm. And I'm taking McCaffrey. Like, I love John Taylor. I don't know when Ayuk's all said and done if he's going to be better than John Taylor. Jerry's Jerry. I mean, mm-hmm. No one's going to surpass. But is the combination of Debo, Kittle, and Brandon Ayuk greater than Brent Jones, Jerry, and John Taylor? I think it is. As great as Jerry is individually. You know, like, Kittle's probably the greatest tight end in 49er history. You know? Mm-hmm. And so, like, I look at that, and then I look at the offensive lines. Maybe the Niners had more, you know, Sapolo and Wallace and Harris Barton. Those
Guy
are
McEntire.
Legends. And they won championships. Mm-hmm. Trent Williams is as good as it comes at the spot.
That's why he's not in, because he's as good as there is.
Right.
And he knows it, and he just saw all these guys get paid. just saw Penei Sewell get paid. He just saw Minnesota's left tackle get paid. He saw all these guys just jump above him. I saw this stat the other day. It's actually unbelievable. The highest paid offensive lineman of all time. Trent's number one. Lane Johnson is number two. Like, I think, like, it's somewhere, I don't know, he's earned $180 million, something like that. Some ridiculous number.
Yep.
Like, it's crazy. Like, I mean, but he's just been that good. Like nobody can play the game the way he could play the game.
Both coming out of Oklahoma, Lane Johnson and Trent Williams.
They both are on the same team. I think Trent's like a 2 years older than Lane.
Wow, that's crazy. Bookend tackles at Oklahoma. You got to play. You're in the Big 12. You're at Missouri at the time, or you're at Iowa State or Baylor. You're going to Norman, Oklahoma. There's Trent on one side. There's Lane Johnson on the other. You got to get to the quarterback. Yeah. That's not happening there, but that's interesting. We're comparing last year's offense. I never thought, because I thought going into the season, I was like, we're doing training camp shows, and I'm studying the team, and I'm looking at Purdy. I'm like, all right, I believe in Purdy. I was like, he won me over. I was like, mm-hmm. I think he could be a really good quarterback in the system. And you think about where Brandon Ayuk was at, and Debo being Debo and Kittle. And I thought going into the season, I was like, you know, this team may average 30 points a game. And now you look back at the Niner teams, are great. They hadn't had offenses like that.
If you ask me for a comparison, I mean, like, Kurt Warner is not out of the question that he could be like Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was the greatest show on turf. Yep. And you look at the talent that those Rams team had, you know, and you could go, you know, from the left tackle to, you know, the two receivers to the running back. I mean, you could say that that's the greatest collection of talent ever on a team. Now, maybe Peyton Manning and some of the teams he had in Indy.
Wow.
You know, but like, you know, there's not that many teams that you could put in comparison to what the 49ers put on the field last year.
That's insane. That is insane.
Let me ask you about this one, because I'm looking at, like, how did Purdy fall to where he fell, and how does Trey Lance get drafted to where he is? Like, that's always, and this isn't the end of teams reaching and making mm-hmm. bad decisions at quarterback, but Bonte and I were talking about it. Caleb Williams, multiple mm-hmm. schools because mm-hmm. of the NIL and mm-hmm. the transfer portal and everything that's going on right now. Michael Penix, multiple schools. Bo Nix.
Jaden Daniels.
Bo Nix, multiple schools. All these guys at multiple schools. There are going to be exceptions, guys that stay at mm-hmm. one spot. I believe Drake May only played at North Carolina.
Mm-hmm, he did.
But how hard is it to make these evaluations on these players coming out of the college ranks, given all of the player movement that's going on right now? You know, there's a seventh round linebacker for the 49ers that I told Bonte, like, I really like this Bethune kid. And he's like, I don't even remember him at Florida State. And then he remembered the numbers. Oh, I remember who he is. He came from this school. He only Central played Florida. One year at Florida State. Yeah. That's got to be so difficult in the modern era.
This year is different because there's the pandemic, so a lot of these guys didn't play. So you had a lot of six-year guys coming out this year. A lot of 24-year-old players. I mean, Jaden Daniels, you know, played, you know, Bo Nix. I mean, these guys are 24. Michael Penix, I think, is 25 right now. So this is just an unusual year, but it's not going to be unusual that these guys are going from school to school, and you might see these quarterbacks from two different schools or three different schools. You know, Spencer Rattler, you know, was at Oklahoma. Yep. And, you know, as soon as Caleb took over, like, he moved on. And so what Jalen Hurts did at Alabama when Tua took over is just unusual. Like, he stayed.
Yep.
And he graduated. And he was a grad transfer to Oklahoma, you know, to play that last year with Lincoln. But I think you're going to see a lot of these guys, they're going to play in different systems. Nobody's going to play 61 games again. That's never going to happen.
That's not happening at all.
Well, but I'm looking at the game, and like, from someone who knows it, teaches it, breaks it down, is there something to be said for playing in multiple systems and learning multiple playbooks, or is it just case by case?
I think it's case by case because, you know, Brock played his whole career at Iowa State. Mm-hmm. So, like, he was highly, highly recruited coming out of Arizona. Like, he might have been the number one quarterback in the country. And Matt Campbell got him at Iowa State, because I remember I was doing Big 12 games then. And everybody was talking about this kid. And then, you know, they started some other guy, you know, for the first three or four games.
Wait a minute.
And then Brock took over.
How the hell did he end up at Iowa State? He's the number one quarterback in the country.
Campbell's a great recruiter.
He's got USC.
They had Breece
Hall. But no, he's in Arizona, though, right? He's played in Arizona. You got USC, UCLA.
Yep.
You got Arizona State. You've got Oregon, Washington. Hell, you got Texas in the Big 12 country.
USC wasn't Texas. USC. Clay Helton?
No,
they had, when I heard, when Lane Kiff, when, what's the new coach?
Come yeah, on. No, I understand
when
that.
They thought they had three NFL players.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
That's how low USC was.
My point is, he's a number one quarterback, and you got all these big time programs knowing that he's a number one quarterback. We never even got to the SEC. We get to the Big 12. Hell, Oklahoma, they produce quarterback after quarterback,
mm-hmm.
and he ends up at Iowa State.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's...
That's just kind of insane to me.
Well, yeah, you're right.
Like, the only guy I knew from Iowa State before Brock Purdy was, like, Seneca Wallace.
Marcus Fizer in basketball.
Yeah. Well, basketball, with Kevin Cato, Marcus Fizer, but in football, Seneca it was Seneca Wallace from Sacramento.
Like, they don't turn out a lot of players, there's no doubt. But Matt Campbell, when you're around him, like, you know, they went and beat Oklahoma. Like, they rose up really quickly. You know, they went down to Baylor and won. But... You know, the talent that was there, I mean, Will McDonald was there and all these number one picks, Breece
Hall.
Yeah.
Breece Hakeem Beast. Butler was there too. Hakeem Butler, former.
If you're into fantasy football, I would take Breece Hall over everybody.
Why do you say that?
Because I remember talking to Aaron, like, the first week of training camp, I guess it was the second week for them, but, you know, I'm up there at training camp and Aaron's like, Baldy, like, Breece is telling me these holes are so big. I go, how can you tell? Like, you guys aren't even, like, really hitting. He goes, yeah, but he goes, you know, usually, the running backs, they just see lanes. They see whether it's a walkthrough or whether it's, you know, you're in shells, whatever it is, they see it. He goes, I think these holes are going to be really good this year. And that guy is healthy. Like last year at this time, he wasn't even practicing yet. And he was hitting 80-yard runs, you know. This guy can catch it. Like he's fresh as can be right now. And the line is so deep right now, and they've got monsters up front. Even if some of these guys get hurt, like they're still going to be good behind them.
How's Rodgers looking in camp so far?
Well, I mean, nobody knows the game like Aaron does. Like, people can detract. They can say whatever they want to say about off the field.
Well, he's brilliant.
The guy's a brilliant, brilliant understanding of the game. There's just nothing he just can't absorb and apply. Like, absorb and apply, no matter if it's in practice. Like, the combination of him and Garrett Wilson, the ball never hits the ground. Like, it just doesn't. Now they got Mike Williams out there running. You know, and so I just think between Breece, the line, Garrett, Mike Williams, the tight ends, which is a pretty good class, Tyler Conklin, the whole group, like, he's got more than enough right now.
Are they feeling like they're going to shock the world Monday Night Football up there in New York? If Robert Saleh going up against his former head coach and guy who brought him as a DC.
The schedule makers got this one right.
They got it right. Wow.
Like, you know, like, they're top heavy with Jets early in the season. Just like they were last year, because it was about Aaron and what he can do. And, you know, he's a marquee player in this whole business. But you're going to find out a lot about this new defense in San Francisco that night.
How's his movement looking? Because when I watch him, I don't know if it's the black shoes. His feet look a little sluggish. I mean, he tore his Achilles. And he's 40 years old.
He told me 3 weeks ago that he thought he was 95%.
Okay.
And then he said in practice that day, we talked to him after practice, he said in practice that day, he felt like it went up to 96% because, you know, a defensive end broke free and he was on the move and he hadn't had a move like that all off season where he had to have that suddenness where you got a burst. And he was like, the burst was there to escape and elude the way we saw Caleb last week
right. When
he threw that pass to Rome in the back of the end zone. Like, the burst was there and he felt like he jumped up to 96%. Look, 40-year-old quarterbacks, their injury history is real.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, so we don't know, but just watching him, like, the arm is still elite.
And he's got the weapons, man. Garrett Wilson's a hell of a player.
We've watched his entire career. We watched him at Cal. And so I've always had an affinity for Rodgers. I know people feel a variety of ways, and he's had weirdo comments and stuff. The player, if he walks away from his career with only that one Super Bowl appearance and a Super Bowl win, it just... That would be really unfortunate because I'm a huge fan of his and I enjoyed watching him play. And I don't think that the championship resume would be indicative of the championship player I saw throughout his 20 years.
Well, I mean, look, if you said, okay, that, and you're right about that, but just think about Peyton winning that last Super Bowl in Denver and what it did for him.
Absolutely.
To go to another team. And look, he wasn't Peyton at the end, but in the defense carried him, but still he was Peyton. And he just revolutionized that whole offense, throwing 50 touchdown passes and
incredible.
Stuff he was doing. Like, they were unstoppable. So I feel like when Peyton got that one, it made Peyton.
But he had went to three total. I agree with you. I totally agree with you. That second win was huge. He loses to the Saints.
Yep.
He loses to the Seahawks in the first play of the game.
Yep.
Like, he had been, Aaron only been to one, and he won it, but like, it's kind of crazy, and the Niners stopped him a bunch of times.
But you know what, though? He's been in the mix. And here's how I look at it. My favorite quarterback all time, Dan Marino, got the one in his second year.
Yep.
Never got back. Never won. Yeah. Never won. Elway was on that trajectory until Mike Shanahan got there with Terrell Davis.
But he went to three.
He went to three, but he was going to be known as Jim Kelly. Like, think about how we think about Jim Kelly.
I know.
Jim Kelly's an all-time great.
I know.
All-time great.
We never talk
about
him. But
he's 0-4. We never discuss him among the greats of the greats. So as long as he's got a taste at the table now.
Aaron wants, you know, he wants that recognition.
Right.
I mean, who wouldn't at this stage of his career? And he knows this is it. This is his chance this year.
But think about Brett Favre. Brett Favre's got one Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. He's got two. They both have, four MVPs?
Yeah, three, four MVPs or whatnot. Yeah. So, but we think of Brett Favre so differently. Like, well, he's got the one. He's his gunslinger now. Stuff he's doing off the field. Who cares? You know, we're not talking about that. Just on the field. Brett Favre was a dude.
For 4 years straight, he was the best player in the NFL,
right.
I felt like.
I just think it's hard to win though. Like Steve Young, he's got his one, right? Mm-hmm. Got the monkey off the back as a starter.
Yeah.
As long as you got a seat at the table.
But I'm talking about when we discuss the all-time greats, you know, like I get what you're saying, seat at the table.
Right.
I mean, his regular seasons, he's got like a 40 touchdown, 6 interception season on his resume. I mean, he's had some of
his
greatest.
He's got the best touchdown interception ratio of all time.
It's almost unfathomable. And to do it for as long as he did with who he had around him, I don't know. I just think he's awesome. And I look up and I wanted to see him get to one more Super Bowl.
If he stays healthy, they have a chance this year to get there.
Do you think if it doesn't work out for him with the Jets this year, he could be on the move?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Jets are all in on this thing. And, you know, you talk to the guys, you talk to Nathaniel Hackett, you talk to Sal, you talk to guys up there, and they don't want to say this, but I'll say it. Like, it might have been somewhat of a blessing last year because all these guys got playing time up front. Like, they've got depth on the offensive line. Guys that, you know, shouldn't have played, had to play. And now they got these, Oliveira, Tucker, and Tyron, like that. They got a real group up front with depth if something happens. And now Aaron's like, he's literally had a free year. You know, you got to come back from the injury, but he had a free year where he didn't get hit. And so it's as fresh as he's ever going to be. It's as healthy as he's ever going to be. And so, and the town around him is better than it's been. Mike Williams is an upgrade over anybody they
Absolutely.
Had. Lazard can still be his role, whatever that is. He was awful last year. Look, you think about this. They won 7 games last year, and their quarterbacks threw a grand total of 11 touchdown passes.
That's the greatest stat.
Like, it's unreal.
It really is.
Like, so, you know, the defense fell off the cliff at the end of the season, but this defense has never played with a lead. So, in the second half of the game, if you give – and Aaron said, like, if we get up 14 points, we're going to just step on people's throats. We're going to – and so, like, if you give this group of the – like – Sauce and DJ and the whole group, and you know, all the linebackers, you give that group a lead in the fourth quarter and they got to come after you and make you one dimensional. Like, they have a chance.
And they don't even have Hassan Reddick. They got to figure that situation out.
That's an ugly situation.
Well,
they traded for him. They should have known he needed a contract.
By the way, caller number 10, 415-523-4652, 415-523-4652.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.